You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine.
Breadline is broadcast from the stolen, unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate.
Fair and equal treatment for all. And yes, welcome to Breadline. Yes, and they do owe us a living. And unfortunately, a lot of people are finding life pretty hard in the process of actually getting the money for to pay the bills and the rent. And this, I'm Jessica, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to our news and views from the dole queues and the sort of the news that's really affecting people this week, this month, and really this year, because the fight to actually bring fairness back into the system is quite a big battle. And so I came up from Wonthaggi to do the show today, and I also had the pleasure of volunteering on the 3CR stall at the Sydney Road Sydney Road Street Party yesterday. So that was lots of fun. And lots of free music, lots of people really damp from the rain. But, yeah, saw some amazing dancing from Maori dancers, and then also a few lively women really belting it out there. So, yeah, it was good. And also it was good to meet the people who really love 3CR as we do. And, this show I'm going to be talking a bit about, of course, the ongoing issue about robo-debt, and there's been an interesting article published by Crikey in the last few weeks showing that the Sabin problems are really still there, which were, of course, drilled into during the robo-debt Royal Commission. And, many of the same problems are still there. In fact, some of the same people are still there as well. So I'll be going into that. Then I'll be talking a bit about the so-called revamping of the Disability Employment Services, which got a brand new name, woohoo, and of course changed its logo, which of course means practically nothing. But what has happened is that Inclusive Employment Australia, which is a brand new one, has actually continued to make life very hard for people who are on any kind of disability payments by requiring a whole lot of attending face-to-face, which is, of course, very hard if you are trying to get about on a day like today, which in Melbourne's been really rainy, and not to mention extreme weather events. So I'll be talking a bit about that, and also reminding listeners, which as we do every week, that we do run a members of the Unemployed Workers Union run an advocacy line. So if you or your friends or relations do need help from someone who's also going through the same thing as you, just ring our number Monday to Friday, 10 till 2. And the number I'll give to you now, don't panic if you don't write it down, because you could always Google just as Australian Unemployed Workers Union and get it. But the number is 1-800-289-848. So, yes, I'll just now remind you of a few other good people who are helping people with their Centrelink problems.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
CR, always bringing you the latest union news.
They're coming after us at the moment. They want to get rid of penalty rates, the big push from businesses. They want to get rid of all the things that you and I have fought for.
So there's tens of thousands of jobs gone, contracted out to sham contracting arrangements.
On 8:55 a.m. and on the web, 3cr.org.au.
And yes, those were a few good reminders of people, particularly the Social Security Rights Victoria, who do a great job of helping people with their Centrelink debts. And I'm Jessica, and you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And so I'm going to go into this first story. So it's an exclusive published by Crikey. So very good work there from Crikey. And, of course, it's by the well-known reporter who also wrote the book about the robo-debt inquiry. So basically it's to do with the fact that Scott Britton was the national manager of the customer compliance branch in the Department of Human Services, and he signed a 2014 minute, which first detailed how robo-debt would work. So Rick Morton has looked further into the issue of his continued employment. So he was the architect of one of the scheme, and he's working in a senior governance role in the Australian Public Service 3 years after the Royal Commission heard evidence that he delivered the program to help Tony Abbott's deregulation agenda and was advised it would need legislative change. So while the inquiry found there was no evidence that Britain knew anything or knew that the use of income averaging was unlawful, it made several findings that the senior public servant and his colleagues were briefed on and intimately involved with handling advice that later cast serious doubts over the practical and legal authority to raise debts by guesstimating. And good word Rick Morton uses there, I think, because that's what they were doing during robo-debt. They guesstimated what people's income was, and then they raised these fake debts, which made a lot of people's lives a misery and also a lot worse than that, as we know. So Britton was the national manager of the branch within the Department of Human Services, and signed a minute that detailed how robo-debt would work. This project eventually reached the office of the Secretary, Catherine Campbell, who the Royal Commission found misled Cabinet after the final proposal omitted any reference to advice from social services that it was it would require policy and legislative change. So Scott Morrison, the Social Services Minister in charge, was found to have allowed the Cabinet to be misled. So as usual, yeah, the buck hasn't stopped anywhere. They've just continued to sort of pass around the way, and that's the way bureaucracies tend to work, as we know. So Britton, he remained in charge of the scheme and other compliance streams from 2014 until later in 2016, when he signed off on the full release of the online component, reporting to his boss, manager Mark Withnell. Now, after a long stint in compliance and integrity National Disability Insurance Agency, Britton has a new job. Crikey has confirmed that Britton is now employed in the Office of the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions. His most recent job description was as a branch manager in charge of governance, planning and communication, which is listed in a document that he actually prepared himself, developing a charter for their Audit and Risk Committee, the CDPPs. So it's a lower ranking job, and it's not clear why it's a lower ranking job. But The inquiry found that 12 former and current public servants had breached the code of conduct on 97 separate occasions. A bit of a sort of major breaking of their own rules. Unfortunately, again, the buck didn't stop with the people higher up. Only the former secretaries were named. Of the 10 other staff, only 4 were still serving time at the time of the investigation. 1 retired before sanctions could be implied, and the remaining 3 were recommended for sanctions. While Britain was never directly copied into legal advice that the Department of Social Services possessed that stated unequivocally that Robodebt's use of wholesale income averaging to raise debts was unlawful, the Royal Commission found he was sent a key list of DSS dot points that said as much. The proposal fundamentally changes the assessment of income within the social security system and is not supported by current policy or legislation, the dot points said. In the event, even Britain's 2014 minute gave lie to later protestations that income averaging was only to be used as a last resort. It's plain from the minute that this narrative was false, and Britain and Ryman were hands-on later in preparing an executive minute to the ministers, Maurice Payne and Scott Morrison, that would become the basis for a new policy proposal. It's apparent from the words of the executive minute stating DSS has also advised that legislative change would be needed. So how can we be assured that the NACC will investigate Robodebt properly? That's the big question. Commissioner Holmes decided she was unable to conclude that Mr. Ryman or Mr. Britton intended to mislead Cabinet when they were involved in the removal of the reference to income averaging from the proposal. So basically, if people didn't see it, then it couldn't be, they couldn't sort of raise the alarm that it was possibly illegal. And so a spokesperson for the CDPP told Crikey that they confirmed that Scott Britton still works for the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. And then Britton himself declined to respond to direct questions. So a timely reminder, yes, the people who were functionaries in the department when Robodebt was actually making so many people's lives a misery, affecting so many people, and of course all the ramifications of that are still out and about. Not good news really. A timely reminder is that you have until 4 p.m. on this Friday, the 6th of March, to contact Gordon Legal, who are involved with a class action to seek further compensation for all the damage that Robodebt caused. So this is your time to get organised, and it certainly may have crept up on people, but now's the time to get onto Gordon Legal. Apparently the easiest way to join the class action is to actually go straight to the Gordon Legal website, and then it's advertised how you can join yourself to that if you have decided that's what you want to do. So yes, relevant to all of us who I think lived through the Robodebt scandal. Now here's a little bit of a reminder for something positive: food. I want to drop food, not bombs. Hot trains, bottles, giving every info shop. I want to give free therapy out in the park. Go to free school, jumps, tie, practice, rock, drop food, not bombs. When I was new to Melbourne, I found a Food Not Bombs flyer on the road, and I had like this fist with a carrot, and carrots are my favourite vegetable. Yeah, I think they were asking for help doing stuff, and I got in touch.
We, I guess, rescue food
that would otherwise go to waste.
I like the aspect of sharing food and not making anyone feel obligated to pay anything for it.
We make a real point at Food Not Bombs of involving everyone who wants to be involved in whichever part they want to be involved in.
For more information, go to fnbmelb.noblogs.org. Food Not Bombs is a 3CR supporter. Food Not
Bombs. Yes, yay for free food, especially when it's prepared and eaten collectively, I would say. And I found this interesting song in the 3CR archives, and it comes from one of the other organisations in this country who are campaigning about poverty and about how the rate of payments should be raised. And they are the Anti-Poverty Network, and they're active in Adelaide and Brisbane and probably a few other places as well. So, and this in this song, they of course refer to Newstart, which is not the current name of it, because as we know, and as I'll be talking about later, the names of these benefits and these systems change a lot, but unfortunately the underlying systems don't. So here's a bit of a song. It's time for Newstart from the Anti-Poverty Network.
It's time for freedom, time for moving, it's time to begin. Yes, it's time. Time for changing, not deck chair rearranging. It's time to begin. Yes, it's time. Time for proving, not slick maneuvering. It's time to hear. Yes, it's time. Time for poor folk, not for rich folk. It's time.
And that was the Anti-Poverty Network Community Choir there, and saying it's time for a new start, which of course relates to increasing basically all the payments. But yes, that time, $100 more. Well, really, we want it all in all the payments to be around $500 a week, which is what the pension is. And yeah, we're still pushing on that, but not much movement in that regard with the government, except for the one time that everyone remembers fondly when, because of COVID, they realised that it was time for them to actually double the payments for a short while. And then sadly, they reduced them back again incrementally, but they did reduce them. I remember the excitement when that extra payment, you know, that increased payment came in my town. People thought that I was making it up when I heard about it, actually. And I told them that was when we had an Australian Unemployed Workers Union branch in Wonthaggi. So, yeah, the union I should mention again. So we are a national organisation and we run the advice line, as previously mentioned, which is run by our members for our members to get to talk to a real person on the other end of the line, not put on a sort of, not to spend, for example, 2 hours on the line, which is what happens to a lot of people if you chase up a query. And just to repeat then as well about the advocacy phone line, 1-800-289-848, and it runs Monday to Friday, 10 till 2. Or you can email us on the website auwu.org.au. And what we've got planned later in, hopefully we'll get this happening in April, is to remember Josh Park Fing, who sadly died on a Work for the Dole site 10 years ago now. And so that was a Work for the Dole site in Toowoomba where his labour was being used without fair payment, just a few dollars a day you get if you're on a Work for the Dole site. And unfortunately, because of the unsafe conditions, which I only found out recently, he'd actually complained about this to his family, that it was an unsafe place he was working, and then the next day he was involved with a fatal accident. So yes, that's what we'll be doing in April. We'll be remembering him and also raising the whole issue of why is the Work for the Dole scheme, which has been proved to not work, why is it still going? So the other thing that comes up often with the advice line is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the changeover, the renaming of Disability Employment Services into Inclusive Employment Australia. So what we found with that is a lot of people are getting let adrift. Of course, any of the job centres are able to suddenly increase people's job search requirements. So that's just a stray thing that just hits people. But we also have the fact that job seekers or people on payments who were involved with the Disability Employment Services are required to change over. And a lot of people have been having trouble with that system. They've been find that what we've identified recently is that clients of these services are actually dropping people who aren't going to end up bringing the company very much money. So that's something, again, we've got to gather more examples of that, and then hopefully we can use some of our allies to kick up a fuss about that. So as we know, every time they interact with someone on payments, they will be charging the government for that. The other thing that's been happening is that because they often haven't got the jobs to people's qualifications, they send people for jobs which would be, not to mention a sort of a drastic lowering of pay for these jobs, but also it means they're spreading around people's sensitive information. They basically spray out the identity of the job seeker to a whole lot of not very suitable employers, and then that is, you know, it has quite a few implications for people's privacy. Another thing that we've been talking about on the show this year is the extreme climate events and other bad situations where people who are receiving payments, particularly disability support payments, should not have to go out and travel on public transport, go through heat, cold, etc. So people have been in the union, have been actively following this up. And I've got an answer here that came in from a Department of Social Security consultant. And they said that basically you can, that there are ways that you can avoid having face-to-face appointments. There is actually a charter which is called the Six National Pillars of Disability under the Australian Human Rights Convention. And one of those is that these compulsory face-to-face appointments are in contravention with that. So it's something that, again, it's very hard to argue that sort of thing to a job service provider who has got you in their sights. But we're hoping to be able to use this information to support people more, because The first interview you have with a new job service provider has to be face-to-face, but from that time you should be able to negotiate phone contact, text, etc., and not have to travel and get yourself sometimes, you know, hours on public transport to actually go and see these people, and just so that a box is ticked. So we will be following that up. It was good to see this response, though. But of course, it's a very grey area about whether a lot of the job service providers know that they are not, you know, that there's leeway that they can give a client, you know, the opportunity to not come in. It's just they feel as if, I think, and we've heard again, that they feel as if they have more power to actually influence the client if the person is face to face with them. Well, sorry, not good enough. So we'll be following that whole issue up in the future, because our advice lines and our emails are filled with examples of people who just, you know, have dragged themselves somewhere, and then, of course, we know not much result. But that's just yet another example of the injustices of the system. So, yes, this is Breadline's coming up to an end. We've got a few other members of the union doing the radio. Last week it was Caitlin, so Caitlin did a good job. And it was also Listener Sponsor Week, so I've managed to someone's given me some money to rejoin as a listener sponsor, and so we're doing that. And we'll be continuing to produce our show and tell people what's really going on in the outside world out there. So I'm going to finish off with a song from the Asian Dub Foundation, which is called Take Back the Power.
Come down, see their lies. Read their fine, see their lies. So we love it, we love it, tell them.
bruised and tough. Justice rough. A million on the streets don't seem to be enough. Way down inside, taken for a ride, yeah. Living rent free within your mind. Don't let them live rent free within your mind.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.